This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Chicago's in kind of this weird spot, right? They're hoping for quarterbacks to go. I think potentially two could go before they pick at 10. And then there's about six blue chip players. I named five of them. I would throw Jalen Walker in there. I think Campbell's going to go at four, the offensive tackle. Will Campbell from LSU to go to the Patriots at four would be my guess right now. And so you get down to 10, and it's like, who's left? I just had this mock draft that came out today, Mock 3.0. If Tyler Warren's there, you run it in.
Mulliott Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So that's Todd McShay on with the afternoon show yesterday, and he likes the tight end. Everyone's got an opinion.
Tyler Warren is
good player.
The guy that at Penn State has been mocked anywhere from, I think, 5 or 6 to 14 in Brad Biggs' mock draft 2.0 and ChicagoTribune.com. He's got him going to the Colts, I believe. Tyler Warren is somebody that in Ben Johnson's offense you think would be weaponized. He would be used in a variety of ways. He could come out of the backfield. He could line up as your second tight end in the two tight end sets that, you know, the Bears likely will employ a lot. You have Cole Kmet. Yeah, you're paying him. But Tyler Warren would be somebody that you'd find a way to use both of them. And it would be a luxury item. But I might be irresistible. It depends on whose voice is the loudest and what Ben Johnson values the most.
And speaking of the afternoon show, we should let you know that Spiegel and Holmes are doing their show live from 2 to 6 p.m. today at Lynx Golf and Sports Bar in Lindenhurst. Just stop by, say hello to the guys, watch some golf, listen to the show. There's also a hole-in-one contest giving you one swing for a chance to win $5,000. That's today from 2 to 6 at Lynx Golf and Sports Bar in Lindenhurst. And it's all brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
Big news in the draft on Thursday was Adam Schefter reporting that Drew Rosenhaus, the agent for Abdul Carter, wanted it known, got it out there, that everything is seemingly fine at this point. And there's not going to be any concerns, and he's going to be cleared. And there are different ways that you could word it and different ways to look at it. But the bottom line is that nothing to see here. And when you look at why he would want to get that out now, it says the foot has healed and it's improved. Not going to require surgery. I would want my own doctors to determine that. And I just wonder if that is indeed the case, though, then Abdul Carter will be a top five pick. Abdul Carter is more likely to go in the top five than probably Shedeur Sanders.
He might go second.
He could go as early as second to the Browns.
Yeah. I think Cam Ward goes first.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what you're looking at. The minute that's happened, he could be the second player taken. It's basically him or the corner.
Well, Travis Hunter?
Yeah.
Travis Hunter is...
Oh, do you call him a tight end? Whatever way you want to do it.
Travis Hunter...
I'm saying wide receiver.
Wide receiver, yeah. Wide receiver or quarterback. Yeah, Travis Hunter is going to be double among the top three picks in all likelihood as well. Maybe four, as low as that would go. I don't see a quarterback getting into the top three. Now, do you believe Cleveland has now a quarterback conundrum because Deshaun Watson in the last 24 hours has come out publicly and said he's coming back. The Browns also go out and they sign a familiar face. Don't know how this factors into the depth chart, but ESPN reports this morning, Adam Schefter does, that Joe Flacco signed a one-year, $4 million deal to return to the Browns, where he was the NFL's comeback player of the year a couple seasons ago. Does Joe Flacco's presence change their draft approach? It's a very crowded quarterback room. It's increasingly crowded in Cleveland.
Yeah. I think they need a quarterback, David, don't you? Don't you think they need a quarterback more than anything else? And I think Cam Ward's probably going number one overall just because the value of the position. So whether they keep it or trade it or whatever, he's going number one.
They acquired Kenny Pickett. They signed Joe Flacco. They have Deshaun Watson. They've got a lot of people that they're going to maybe give a chance to believe in.
Who's going to start?
I don't know that they have a bona fide, legitimate, trusted starting option. But I think if they go into the draft believing that, then they might be inclined to take a quarterback at number two. But you're overdrafting a quarterback there as well. So I don't know that I would do that this year if I were running the Browns. I don't know that I would want to overdraft. I might take the sure thing. I might go with either the Abdul Carter or the Travis Hunter or a player that would be a safer bet as an NFL player than what I would think Shedeur Sanders at number two. That's too high.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's, I feel bad for Tommy Rees because he's going to have to coach up one of those quarterbacks, and they definitely need someone better than what they've had there, sadly.
Well, they're going to have to be creative.
The contract they gave was outrageous.
So Carter could go there, and depending on what happens there with the Browns, could affect what happens with the Giants. Everything's related because at four, the New England Patriots. Now, Brad has the Patriots taking Will Campbell. That's as high as I've seen him go. That's probably as high as he will go. That's also a team that would be drafting him without any regard to how long his arms are. Unless they want to move him to guard immediately. But at the same time, if you're taking somebody that high, I don't know that you're taking a guard at number four. You're taking him to play left tackle.
Right.
And you're taking him because you believe that the arm length is a non-issue and that what he showed on tape at LSU is an ability to block NFL caliber pass rushers and run stuffers. And you believe that Will Campbell is going to be a fixture at left tackle for the next 6 to 8 to 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think they do believe that, and I'm sure that that's kind of where they're at with it. I don't think there's any way that they're thinking about it in a different fashion. If they take a guy there, they're taking him to line up and play, period, end of story. It's awful high, but that's where the best tackle in a draft often goes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that you look at the Bears' options then if Will Campbell is off the board, and if Membu is off the board. I like this text from 219. Drafting offensive linemen is like eating broccoli. Nobody wants to do it, but you'll be better off for having done so. That is definitely the way to look at it. Although I can say that, and I like a certain type of broccoli. I like the way it's prepared, and I like the best stuff. But if it's the third... If it's your third choice, or if it's trying to make the analogy fit here, Brad's mock draft has a third tackle going to the Bears off the board. Don't you think that if you're drafting 10, you'd like to ideally get a player that isn't the third ranked player at his position?
I wouldn't get hung up on it. Honestly, I wouldn't get hung up on it. To me, what my rankings are at my positions are irrelevant compared to what someone else mocks or what some draft nick thinks. You see what I'm saying? Like, I think you go through, if I believe this is the best left tackle and I can get him at that spot, that's great. If there are three of them that are really good and I can get one at that spot, that's great. I just don't think you can get hung up on having to take a guy first at his position. I just think that, you know, they need a left tackle. If this guy can play left tackle, I don't care if he's the fifth choice at that position.
Hmm. That's interesting.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I don't agree.
I mean, ideally.
I don't agree.
But yeah. if I'm putting together a list and I have them, well, this guy, he's the number one. This guy's the number two. That guy's really a right tackle. I don't want him on my list of left. I'm just saying.
Let me ask you this, and let me pose it another way.
You don't have to agree.
No, that's fine. I'm not worried about that. If you have a choice to pick the third best player at one position, offensive tackle, or the best offensive player in the draft, Ashton Jeanty, which way would you go? Because that could be a scenario.
Well, now we're talking about let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Because this is the same question you're asking me. If you have a chance to take a quarterback, whether he's the first or second, but there is a safety there that is probably going to be a better pro, do you take the quarterback or do you take the safety?
Well, you don't have a need for a quarterback if you're the Bears, so you take the safety.
But, I mean, I'm not talking about the Bears. I'm just talking a premium position versus a non-premium.
Well, quarterback choices are with asterisks, though, because you always are going to have to – you're only going to take one if you have a need for one, a developing quarterback.
I personally think they need a left tackle.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that they can't get a running back in the second round that would be as good as the running back. If Ashton Jeanty, if I have gotten past the fact that he played at a smaller school on a blue field, and I think he's the best running back, maybe I take the running back. But you rate players via position, then you rate them versus other players in the draft. Mm-hmm. I just think you got to draft what you need most, and you can't worry about this idea of best player available, because if the best player available is at a position where you're loaded, then you don't need that guy.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Fair enough. I don't think I would criticize them for taking Ashton Jeanty over Kelvin Banks.
It's hard for me because I don't particularly like their running back.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have chosen to go with DeAndre Swift when I was making that decision. But now that he is on your roster, I still think you need to upgrade. But I think the class is good enough that you might not if I've concluded that Ashton Jeanty is the best running back available, then I might take him over another position, no doubt about it.
Yep.
But I also would need to know that I can get somebody else, maybe the seventh best guy at a position that's still good enough to start for me.
Well, you're not going to get the seventh best guy at a position drafting 10th.
No, I'm talking about the second round.
Yeah, in the second round. Yeah, right. I think that would be another possibility.
I'm looking at the package of players
right.
You get.
Yeah, sure.
And there's a deep draft for running backs.
It is a deep draft for running backs. No question about it. And you're just going to have to trust the evaluation powers of a Ben Johnson. And if he believes that he's fixated on one guy, then I would be okay with that.
But if I'm like looking at a particular position, and I don't know this to be the case, but I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr. wound up being the best wide receiver that was drafted last year, but he was the first wide receiver that was drafted last year. And I wonder...
Not yet.
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
But I wonder, when you lack information on a person, like their 40 time, yet they had no active 40 time on him when they took him, do you know enough about the player, or are you operating without a piece of information that might help you?
Well, who are we talking about here?
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, well, I think he's still
going
to be.
And I'm applying that to Jeanty, and I'm applying it to Warren.
Yeah, Jeanty is somebody who you'd want to work out privately. You have to know what he runs the 40 on. Tyler Warren, I think that he has been described by more than one evaluator.
Yes.
He's almost like the ideal football player.
He's a great football player. He can block. He can get off the line. He can run over people. I'm just saying, David, that I want to have all the information I need in order to make a pick.
Yeah,
I'm not sure you have that with every one of these guys.
I like broccoli with cheese, too, 920. I want Ashton Jeanty as well. That's it. Ashton Jeanty's broccoli with cheese.
I don't think that's accurate.
Well, it's not very. It might not be good for you, but it would definitely taste great.
Yeah, I think he could be good for you. I think he could be the best play. I mean, you might be really happy with him.
Ashton Jeddah is probably the best offensive player in the draft.
Maybe.
There's a lot of maybes.
And I guess the
Cam
question
Ward, I don't think is. We have not talked about Cam Ward. There's no reason to talk about Cam Ward in Chicago. Cam Ward is the first overall pick.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the best offensive player in this draft.
But he's going off the board first.
Yes, because he plays the position that is premium position and the one that the Titans need most.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think that, you know, did the Bears need a running back over a left tackle? And no one wants a left tackle. Everybody just wants to line people up, and you don't really need that guy until you get into a game and you need him. That's all. 312, we got a lot of people want to check in. 312-644-6767. Jeff is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hopefully Saturday night from Kalamazoo here, we will have the Natty Hockey Championship. But Mully, I totally agree with you. We go offensive tackle. We got to build a line, and then you can look at running backs. One of the only reasons Saquon worked out so well and Gibbs works out so well in Detroit is they have established lines. We need to establish a line. What about if it looks like to me there's only going to be one quarterback goes before the Bears pick. What about at 10 if we don't have the choice we want at tackle, that we actually trade back a couple spots and maybe that tackle that we can get that's third is still available and we pick up a second round pick because of it? That's something I'd like to look into. Also for your live show, David, try to pop about a quarter cup to an eighth of a cup per person. You should be all right with that. And I think we should change the name of the show to Mully and Big Poppy. Hey, you guys have a great day. David, have a great vacation.
Thanks, Jeff. Nah, I don't like the name of the show.
You like it when I call you Big Poppy.
You've never called me Big Poppy.
It's a
and
song.
And please don't ever do it
never
again.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Brandy, can you bail me out here so David understands what I'm saying? Randy is on the road. Hey, Randy.
Hey, guys. Great show. I love listening to you. Thanks a lot. Let's not get hung up on third best player in the draft. I mean, we're talking about college players. The third best player at a position in the draft may be a better NFL player than the first best player at another position. So we need offensive linemen. The game of football is won and lost on the line of defense and offense. Let's draft that left tackle if he's going to be a quality NFL left tackle. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
I respectfully disagree. I appreciate where you're coming from, but you don't get every prospect is going to be evaluated differently. But I do think you build a top flight roster more effectively and quicker if you are drafting the best player at every position as you evaluate those positions. So if you're looking at the board and Ashton Jeddah is ahead of
Hold on.
If Ashton Jeddah is ahead of Kelvin Banks Jr., then you're drafting Ashton Jeddah. You don't get influenced and you don't get too caught up in need when you're still at the point the Bears are at as an organization.
But David, if I'm putting together a chart of who the best players in the draft are, isn't it conceivable that the top three tackles could be better than a running back as I measure them?
Well, it's conceivable, but I don't think that was the way I posed it. Ashton Jeddah, I said, was the best offensive player in this draft. He's going to be at the top of the board if he is that guy. Your third offensive tackle, theoretically, is going to be ranked below
him. But
you're
never going to take the best running back over the best quarterback. That's what we're talking about, the value of positions.
He's not talking about that. He's talking about the Kelvin Banks versus Ashton Jeddah. He's not talking about Ashton Jeddah versus the quarterback. If the Bears were in need of a quarterback.
What I'm saying is that they arguably, the depth at the running back class is good enough that you can find comparable to Ashton Jeddah later in the draft, in the second round of the draft. Meanwhile, if you want the left tackle, you got to take this guy. Right?
So yeah.
Doesn't that come into the way you evaluate your football team?
I suppose, but again, your need, your need is dictating the course of your pick, or your need is dictating that in that case. But I just don't know if I feel as good about the third best player taken at 10 if you have the at one position, and if you have the best player at another position that you still could use. I would look at it that way. It's just a point of view, just a perspective.
No, I get it. I just, you know, I'm kind of fixated with them improving the line, and I'm worried that, you know, if they really want to be a good offense, a long-standing good offense, they need to get a couple of guys. They need to get another good young lineman out of this draft that can learn from the guys you have here for a year or two tops. They're not going to, you know, it's great that they've improved on the interior, but that's not a long-term solution. Never with the late-round trade are you going to find a real long-term solution.
All right, let's talk to Steve Stone.
Okay, we got Stoney next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or dsw.com.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Stone, White Sox TV analyst.
And the pitcher, a 12-game winner already this year, Steve Stone.
Former American League Cy Young Award winner. Over four decades of excellence in the booth. No one breaks down baseball like Stoney.
I mean, I had heard tell that there was a time in baseball where you actually got signals from the catcher and they threw the ball without a pitch count.
Really?
Yeah.
Steve Stone with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Steve Stone joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. New tires for spring. Check it out, Aturo.com. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Well, I'm hanging in there. Looks like I will broadcast for the first time in a few days today. So the voice is slowly creeping back. You'll have to excuse it. I don't know what happened. I just kind of lost it in Cleveland.
Yeah, you weren't alone. It felt like the season kind of went that way. What an awful to lose in the two of the three games in the fashion in which they did, and then to get swept and to be in an eight-game losing streak. You know, we know that they lost a lot of games in a row a year ago, but they didn't get to eight until, I think, the end of May. And I don't know. It just feels rough, Steve. It feels like this team's really struggling to score.
Well, there's a couple of different things. Number one, you know, you lose Lee and Tauchman in one fell swoop. Benintendi was already on the ropes, and now he's going to be on the disabled list. So this team is waiting for Rojas to come back, and don't know when that's going to happen. They've lost a few players. Brian Ramos at times looked to me like he was ready to take over, perhaps as an everyday third baseman. As we know, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Drew Thorpe had Tommy John surgery. So there's a litany of injuries to this team. And if you're not particularly deep, and this White Sox team was not deep, then these injuries are tough to fight your way through, and that's one of the things that's happening. And, of course, we knew offensively there would be a problem, and we're seeing it play out in real time.
Well, they hope to address that by bringing up Chase Mydroth from Charlotte. He was hitting very well down there, Steve, in a small sample size, nine games, but he showed some pop at the plate that he didn't show in spring training, frankly, with three home runs. I don't know if he can be a catalyst. I don't know where he plans to bat, but I hope they plan to play him. What impact can he make on a lineup that needs some oomph?
Well, he's a guy that will make some contact, put the ball in play. And, you know, I was reading a wonderful article this morning because I like to keep up on what's happening in baseball. And the article was on Juan Soto. And he was talking about how he developed his two-strike approach and how he has one of the best eyes in baseball. But it's not by accident. It's by design. And he changes everything when he has two strikes. He chokes up on the bat. That's an easy part. But he also changes where he puts his feet. He changes his stride. And his goal is to put the ball in play. Can you imagine that? Wanting to put the ball in play? What a novel concept. So, yeah, this is one of the great hitters in our game today who has established himself as having maybe the best eye in baseball. But he was talking about how they talked to him when he first came up about the Nationals' whole organization striking out too much. And he took it upon himself to redesign what he was doing, and it worked out really well. But when you see that and you know that it's possible, and then he talks about having to adjust because the game is different. He said these guys aren't close to what they were in 2018. He was talking about pitchers. He said you might see one guy throw 100 and you might have one guy on a team. He said now they keep trotting him out of the bullpen, the occasional starting pitcher, and they throw 100. And he said he had to adjust because the pitchers had adjusted. They're bigger, stronger, they throw harder. So he made an adjustment. And in the same research session that I had, because I've had plenty of time to do these things lately, I was reading about Jacob DeGrom, who is throwing about 96.7 miles an hour on his fastball. And he says he can throw harder, but he's decided that if he throws at that speed, varies his speed, he could actually possibly stay on the field. Another remarkable concept. You mean you can't throw every pitch as hard as you want to and expect to stay healthy? Wow, that's revolutionary. Well, it's called pitching, and that's what we're seeing more guys with the light turning on and saying, you know what, they've been doing this for a long time. They used to pitch on four-man rotations. These pitchers used to throw 300 innings, and they were smaller, and they didn't have the exercise facilities that the guys have today. They didn't have near as many strength coaches. They didn't do the things they're doing today, and yet they threw 300 innings. Today, if they get to 200, they want to give them a medal. So it's a whole different philosophy, and I understand that some of these guys are starting to figure out that not everything that happened, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago was bad. And not everything they're doing today is good. There's some place in between that in order to stay on the field, you're going to have to get to. And some of these guys are actually getting there.
I guess I look at it and I keep wondering, you know, and I don't want to be rude about it or anything, but when you see a guy like Colson Montgomery struggling as he is, and I think his average is at like 0.88 right now, it just makes you wonder if all of these so-called prospects are just that, are 50-50 chances, and how many are going to hit and how many aren't going to hit. And when you're relying on all of this sort of eventual arrival to solve all woes, how long does that take?
Well, look, Mully, I mean, you hit it right on the head. This is not an exact science. You could draft a guy 1-1, or you could draft him in the 18th round, and you really don't know what's going to happen. Mark Burley was a 38th round draft pick. I mean, this was a guy, and I talked to his father, and I said to his dad, could you have envisioned your son having this kind of career? And he said, Steve, I was hoping he could pick up a spot in the bullpen, maybe. Get a couple of years in, you know, and it would be great. We would be very happy. So you don't really know when you draft these guys, and whether it's Colson Montgomery or anybody else, they will develop or not develop in a time frame that eventually, you know, their first team that signs them might run out of patience and they move on. How many times have you seen these guys on their fourth team, all of a sudden everything clicks, and these guys start to hit, and they start to hit or they start to pitch, and they never stop. So you don't really know. You don't know what the catalyst is going to be, and it's a difficult proposition to draft, sign, and develop these guys and expect that they're going to get it done consistently, because you just don't know. And it takes a lot of talent in your organization with your scouting and development people. It takes a lot of work on the part of the guy that you're drafting. It takes a lot of things. And you also have to have an element of luck. You have to stay uninjured, because if you're injured, you can't get any better. And so, you know, the Sox have had an inordinate amount of injuries. Guys, I will tell you, it's not the strength and conditioning people. It's not the trainers. Right now, it looks like there's a curse. Obviously, I don't believe that that's the case, but I will tell you that there is an inordinate amount of injuries to a thin organization to begin with, and it's stopping this team from performing the way that they envisioned. I mean, if you look at what the lineup was supposed to be as it was envisioned, it's not close to what it is now.
Steve, in the final moments we have remaining, I want to ask you about Sunday's matchup, because it's a good one. Garrett Crochet against Shane Smith, if both teams are pitching who they're expected to pitch. Shane Smith has been, I think, a revelation. We've talked about him before, but he's now gone out and give two pretty strong starts. What is he doing well? How impressed have you been?
I've been really impressed. I mean, this is a Rule 5 guy, and granted, he was the first pick in the Rule 5. I'm not sure what Milwaukee was thinking about, but I will tell you that this stuff is legitimate top-of-the-rotation stuff. He's not doing it with mirrors. He's doing it with overwhelming stuff. That changeup is outstanding. He's throwing his fastball where he wants to. It has late life to it. You know, there's a lot of ways to get to 97 for pitchers. There's some guys that go all out. They're straining everything they can. They get to 97. There's no movement on it, because velocity, boys, come from the shoulder. The faster you can rotate the shoulder, the higher the velocity. But movement comes from the wrist and the forearm. You put that little extra pop at the end, and you'll get movement on the ball. And movement is what fools hitters. Velocity doesn't fool hitters. Hitters have eyes like computers. They know exactly what velocity you're throwing, and if it doesn't move, they're going to tattoo it. His moves. Everything that Shane Smith throws moves. He's been very impressive so far. Again, I'm very happy that for whatever reason, Milwaukee ran out of room on their 40-man and exposed him, and the Sox took a look and said, you know, this guy's pretty good. As it turned out, he's better than pretty good. He's outstanding. He's throwing like a number one. If this continues, I mean, he's going to have a very nice career, but there's a long way to go. You can't get too excited after two starts, but from what I've seen, this guy's legitimate top-of-the-rotation starter.
Steve, I was watching, I think it was Chuck and Ozzie talking about him, and Chuck was saying that he asked him, like, where did that changeup? He taught himself the changeup. He began that pitch, like, in the last year, just looking at different guys and checking out stuff. Did you ever teach yourself a pitch? How hard is that to do?
It's very hard to do. In fact, I spent 14 years in professional baseball, 12 in the major leagues, and I'm going to be 78. I'm still looking to throw a changeup. I can't throw one. I could never throw one. And I did everything you could think of. I mean, I split my fingers. I was looking to add fingers somewhere. Nothing worked. And so, look, the key to a changeup is very simple. It's very simple to talk about, very difficult to do. You use the same release point and the same arm velocity as your fastball. But somewhere with finger pressure or splitting your fingers or doing whatever you're going to do, you're able to take something off the ball without alerting the hitter that you're slowing the pitch down. The best I've ever seen with finger pressure was Greg Maddux. He was outstanding. He could change the finger pressure and make the ball do whatever he wanted to do. But there was one of him, and he won 355 games. But to teach yourself a changeup that's as effective as this is, I would say that's a monumental achievement. And I just hope it stays there, and I hope he keeps experimenting, because that's what I use my side session for. I knew what I did well. I knew what I did poorly. I worked on the things I did poorly. I touched on the things I did well. But I always experimented here and there, because I was trying every day to make myself a half a percent better. Just a half a percent. Find something. Do something that you haven't done. And maybe you'll luck into a changeup as Smith did.
Well, we hope you feel 100% better when you get back in the booth tonight.
There you go. Great stuff, Steve. Thanks a ton. Great catching up.
Thanks, guys. It was great to be able to talk again. Talk to you later.
Take care, Steve.
That's Steve Stone, White Sox playing TV hurt. Analyst on CHS.
Yeah, playing hurt. He's got the Red Sox in town for three this weekend. Garrett Crochet pitching Sunday. Going to be an interesting weekend. Both Sox are looking forward to it, as we heard from their announcers. But Sox got to score some runs.
No doubt about that. We got Mike Palm next. Molly and Haw on the Score.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, proudly presents the star of our show,
Mike Palm, Vice President of Operations of Circa, the D, and Golden Gate.
Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Twitter at Mike Palm Circa.
Why don't I take you somewhere that you've never been?
Where's that?
Vegas?
Let's head to Vegas with Mike Palm, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I don't care if the sun will shine. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to our friend in the desert, Mike Palm. He joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. Another beautiful Friday morning here in Las Vegas. Couldn't be better.
Yeah, the weather's going to turn at some point here. But at any rate, we're wondering what kind of book do you, how do the books do during the Masters and during, you know, the big golf tournaments? Does that bring out a big crowd? Does that bring out people, I don't know, walking around in green jackets, that sort of thing?
Well, we serve the sandwiches that they serve in Augusta for $1.50, so that's the only kind of pricing you'll ever get at Circa like that. especially the Masters. I mean, we had a crowd in the book at 5:30 in the morning yesterday. Nice crowded stadium. Swim, Mitch and Paul are doing their show from there today. Saturday and Sunday will be jammed up. And, of course, we do the most right on the Masters of any of it all year. Of course, we have a future pool that's open for 9 months as well. So it's a very good event for us.
What are some good bets after looking at the first round? What are you looking for the rest of the weekend?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, our biggest liability was Vijay Singh, and then he withdrew. So that changed a lot for us. We're a pretty good winner to Justin Rose. He had obviously had a tremendous first round, and so that result would be A-OK for us. It's a funny story here, David. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with the golfer Matt McCarty, who shot a one under yesterday, but I was not familiar with him. I guess he won his first event on the tour and then hasn't done anything since. So Jeff Benson got a phone call from a sportsbook director that he used to work for, who said, look, I have a very good customer. He's our second biggest sports player. He wants to bet $10,000 on Matt McCarty because his company is sponsoring Matt McCarty. Matt McCarty's odds were 775-1. I mean, that would have been a bet to win almost $8 million. So there was a long debate about how much did we want to take. You know, you don't want to take something that will wipe out your entire year of golf earnings for a book. So we ended up taking a bet for McCarty for this gentleman to win $2 million. So he's still very much alive in it, right? I mean, he's, what, tied for eighth or something like that after the first round. So we'll see how it goes. But that's an interesting sweat for us because we'd lose $2 million if this miracle happened.
God, oh, my God. Mike, I had a friend who was on the horn with me, and he was telling me in-game when Florida went down 12, he could do in-game betting, and they were getting 9.5 all of a sudden. So he tried to middle it, but he only won the one wager. Is in-game betting becoming more popular than ever? Do you like it? Do you see much of it going on in the casino?
Well, I love it myself, but I'll try to day trade totals like in baseball and in soccer and court and hockey in a quarter, right? I mean, period. I'll bet under 1.5, and then when you get through the first time out under 14, it usually goes to a half, and then you bet over a half, and if it lands one, you scoop both bets. If you can get to the under 10 timeout, it's even better. But anyhow, if you'd asked me 5 years ago what would have been the biggest trend, I would have said it would have been in play. It's actually props. Props are a much bigger growing portion of what we do in terms of handle, and we have a mandate to just be able to offer more player props in every sport. But in-game is significant. There are some books, we're not one of them, but there are some books where the in-game handle is more than the pregame handle. We're not quite there yet. We're at about 70-30. You know, before the game compared to in-game. But there are some books, like a William Hill, that has a really advanced in-game product where it's more than half of their total right.
Are you seeing much action yet on the NFL draft? And if so, what spots are people, or how are they betting this year's draft?
So we posted only 1 week before. And it's another big debate because we hate to even do it because every year we lose, David. Every single year. It's all based on information. We got killed on Bowers going to the Raiders last year. We got killed on Knicks. You know, it was known to people who knew Peyton that he was going to take Knicks, but it wasn't thought Knicks was a first-round quarterback. So, I mean, his over-under was 34.5. Well, obviously, he goes to the Broncos. There people came to town pounding the under there, and they cast. So it's very difficult. We will put up 15 players this year and just their over-under. Simplify it. Let people bet 300. A lot of places you can only get $100 now just because the books don't win on this. People have information. Somebody that works in the organization, however, could come from the head coach, could be the GM, or just somebody that works in the front office that knows. And so it's really difficult to book. But we put it up. Each state has different rules, but we put it up a week ahead of time, and then we take it down whenever the state says you have to take it down. Nevada says 24 hours. Others let you keep it open right up to when the draft starts.
I always wonder whenever we start talking about futures and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm a White Sox fan, sadly. They've lost 8 in a row. They are on schedule to be worse than they were a year ago, if that's humanly possible. Do people jump in and out as the season is going on, or do they wait, make one bet, wait? I mean, when is the time to strike if you think a team is going to do exceptionally poorly?
Well, whenever you feel that way. I mean, you know, the win totals get posted weekly, the adjusted win totals, if you want to bet it that way. Or a lot of people will simply just martingale it and just keep betting. Bet against the White Sox. If they lose, double up the next day. If they lose, double. People do that with the Dodgers, but it's betting on the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And they do with the White Sox, it's betting against the White Sox.
Wow. That's so funny. I mean, it's awful, but But that's what we were actually talking about this morning, whether you should do that now, given that the trend is your friend and they've gotten to 8 and Boston's coming in here. And, you know, the game Sunday is Crochet back in Chicago. Not that anyone really cares about that, but Sox fans.
Yeah, I try to I try to find ways to vet the Sox, and yet I talk myself out of it, and I'm glad I have been able to.
It's probably good way, good practice to follow there, Mike.
Yeah,
have a great weekend. Have fun.
Thanks,
with Mitch,
Mike.
Out there.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I saw him last night. Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy. That is Mike Palm. I gotta tell you, that's like the old, you know, the Washington Generals. You bet for them because they're due. Wasn't that Krusty the Clown in the Simpsons?
Well, Sox are due. Yeah. The White Sox are due, not the Red Sox. Right now, be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670. And you can win a pair of tickets to see, you don't want to miss this, the Take the North show, Take the North Live with Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer next Thursday, April 17th, 6 to 7 in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio. Mark and Dan on the Take the North podcast. You can download it on your free Odyssey app and you can see it live. 312-540-0670.
It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio. We're gonna talk to the great Ron Coomer next on The Score.
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due. He's spinning the ball on his finger! Just take it! Take the ball! That game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.